straight into the sugya. I just want to mention on the parsha, there's a fascinating Balaturim. Balaturim writes on the pasuk, when the Bnei Yisrael have the mitzvah to go get the Karban Pesach, it says the word, Mishchu ukhu lachem tzayin, to grab and take everyone a Karban Pesach. And the Balaturim writes that the word Mishchu is the gematria shaloi min hagezel. That we're not. Everyone. I don't know if I can mute everyone.
Michael needs to mute himself.
Everyone needs to mute.
I'm muted. Sorry.
I don't have the power. I'm on a different device here. So if everyone just bear with me. So the Baal Turim writes that the gematria of the words Mishru is Shaloi Min Hagezel. That you're not allowed to take in Karban Pesach that's stolen. And it's interesting. Why did the Torah have to tell us this now at this point? So I believe it's a fundamental concept of Judaism. Very often when we are excited about a mitzvah, we often forget that there are still other rules we have to keep. You know, we get so ready to do a mitzvah, we forget that there's another 612 mitzvahs also that one has to keep to fulfill the one mitzvah. You know, very often you find people, they're so excited, they want to daven with a minyan, so they'll double park their car, or they'll park illegally, or they'll do things which is questionable, because I'm going to daven. That's great, fantastic. But you got to keep the other rules as well. So the Torah is reminding us that the ends don't always justify the means. Just because you're doing a good thing and you think that you're doing something for Hashem, it can't be from stolen. And that's why it's even Biramiza. It's not explicitly written. Because Hashem wanted us to figure this out on our own. Hashem wanted us to realize that the way Judaism needs to be structured is we have to keep all of the mitzvahs intact. We can't decide what we want to keep and what we don't want to keep and what's more important. Everything's important. We have to take everything into consideration. Whenever we're serving Hashem, we have to use all of the mitzvahs that He gave us and make sure they're working together in order to do something which is special. And therefore the Torah doesn't even say it explicitly, it's more of a remez. The Torah hints to us the importance and the significance of making sure that when we're doing mitzvahs, we are ensuring that we're not forgetting about other mitzvahs as well. I think it's also very important, ben adam lechaver, sometimes we're doing mitzvahs, we forget that human beings, you know, the joke goes, and there's a really machloikish rishonim, why don't we make a bracha on tzedakah? Because the answer is you don't want to make the ani feel like he's a chefetz shel mitzvah. You know, you don't want to make the guy feel like he's a nebuch kiss. You make a big brach on him before you give him the check. Even when we're doing things, we want to do charity, we want to help. There's still an art and a way of making sure we're not making anyone feel bad or feeling less than they should, because we want to do something which is special in the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch. Okay, Rabbi, so we're moving on to a new sugya, and Belinenda, we're going to be starting the Gemara, which is very, very exciting. But before we move on, I just want to make one ha'ara from last week, because there's really ha'ara that Seth made to me 2 weeks ago, and we didn't get to it, and I want to just give the credit where the credit is due, because it's a Gavaldik Yisoy. We left off last week. Yes, Michael. Oh, I'm sorry, thank you. Today's learning is Refuah Shleimah for Chaim Yishuv ben Hendel, as well as...
Okay, I got three.
Okay. Esther Sarabas Chaya Pesel.
Esther Sarabas Chaya Pesel. Yes, Menachem Mendel ben
Menachem Mendel ben Malka.
Yes, Yehoshua Ariel.
Ben Devorah Rochel. B'soich Shar Cholei Yisrael.
Chaim Yitzchak Moshe.
Ben Esther Rezel. Esther Rezel. Oh, wow, okay. Sadly, this list is growing. We hope and we pray.
Sviya Cohen, Ben.
Alta Chaya. Wow. We hope that this list should grow shorter and shorter and be endless and be complete. No more people on this list. Okay, B'Shar Shach Yisrael, our learning should be before Shalem. We left off last week with a fundamental machloek is Bavli and Yushalmi about whether or not a mafate, let's say a girl is not raped, but she was convinced to live with a man, which is called a mafate, does she have the right to be moichel her knas? Does she have the right to waive the knas? So the Bavli said yes, the Yushalmi said no. And we started this, I'm not getting back into that sugya because we're moving on, but I just want to mention a mahalach that Seth suggested, which I found later in the Sefer Sukkas David, from Reb David Kviat. It was a Magid Shiv in the Mir in Brooklyn for many, many years, a Choshev B'Tam L'Chacham. Reb David Kviat wanted to suggest that what's the underlining machloek between the Bavli and Yerushalmi? The Bavli holds that if a girl is mefate, again, a guy goes over to a girl and he convinces her that he's fantastic, he's amazing, and she consensually agrees to live with him, so the halach is that he has to pay, that's mefate. Einus, we all know what Einus is. Einus is if he forces himself on the woman. So we had a machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. What happens if it's a mefate? And she is in her own possession. Her father's out of the equation. So normally, she can't be moichel because the money goes to the father. But let's say you have a situation where the father's out of the equation. Right? The father died when she was young. She's yesaima. She has all the rights in the world. And she assumed that she waived her rights by consenting. Consenting means she gave up the rights to collect the money. The Yerushalmi says, no, the knas, the part of the payment that's penalty that she can't give up, that she has no right to give up on. So David Kriyat and Seth was Mechavin. He wants to suggest, what's the Nekudas HaMachloikis? The Nekudas HaMachloikis is something we spoke about when we started this perek. Why does the Torah give a knas in these cases? Is it for the benefit of the victim? Or is it for the benefit of society? What was the purpose of this knas? Was the purpose of this knas because we don't want men going around enticing young Jewish girls to live with them? We need to stop this. We need a deterrent. And therefore we instituted, the Torah instituted this penalty. This penalty is in place to deter other men from behaving inappropriately. That's one side of the chakira. The other side of the chakira, no. It was that this girl is a victim, and every lawyer knows a victim has rights, and the victim gets payment. And this is compensation for the victim's loss and anguish and whatever else you want to explain. So says Reb David Kriyat, what's the nafkamina? He says the nafkamina should be if you're allowed to be meichelet. If the reason why they made this knas in the first place was for the benefit of society, we don't want men going around doing this to other girls, so you're not really the bailim, you're not really the decider of the knas to be meichelet, because that defeats the whole purpose. We want to stop the next man from doing it. But if the pshat was instituted for your tayelas, for your benefit, because you're a victim, so if you don't consider yourself a victim, you consider yourself consensual, then perhaps we would waive, then you would be able to waive the knas. So Zaktub David Kriyat, I think this is what Seth, this was your mahalch a few weeks ago, am I right? Seth on?
Seth's not here.
Oh, Seth's not here, okay. But this was his mahalach. He wanted to suggest this nekuda. And if David Kriyat writes like this meforish over in number one, if we could just read it together, he says, V'hine yesh litos machloikis abavli v'ayushalmi im mahani mechilose b'knas machloikis bavli yushalmi v'shikim moichol knas. Depends. De'im haknas l'toya losa. If the knas is for her benefit, avorship pogma, because she was ruined, the gam b'psulik kohol shaykh b'gamzeh, you can even have like psulik kohol, oz mahani mechilose. But if the purpose of the knas was so this guy or another man shouldn't go around doing it, it was to deter other people, then perhaps mechila doesn't work. Now the truth is we can break this down also and debate this, and we could say, well, maybe not. Meaning, maybe even if that was the original reason for the knas, but now she becomes the owner of that money. She becomes the balabas. So if she's the balabas, she does have the right to be mechila. But again, on its surface, I think it's a very nice mahalach to be masber. The machloik is bav in the Yusham. Okay, let's move on, Rabbi Say. New sugya was starting the Gemara number 2. Zok the Gemara. If you remember the long Mishnah that we learned, and we were learning it for 14 weeks, the Mishnah had a whole list of women who have knas, but if you noticed, every one of those women in the Mishnah were not typical, wonderful, regular girls. They were all girls with complications. She was in the Sina, she was a Mamzeres, she was an Ishis Achiv, all these funny, funny cases. So, Frank the Gemara Kasha. Hani Naras Psulas Islu Knas. The implication one gets is that these girls that are all possible, they get knas. Kshayrus loy? But a regular, kosher, Bais Yaakov girl, wonderful parents, no psul, no mamzeres, no nesina, no nothing. A regular good Jewish girl, she doesn't get knas. One would open up the opening Mishnah in the third pack of Ksubas and think that knases are only given to complicated cases, psulois, girls that have something wrong with them. But a regular run-of-the-mill, normal girl doesn't get it. So the Gemara says, no, hachikama. This way, the way you read the Mishnah. Elu nairis psula sheyesh lahem knas. The way you have to read the Mishnah is that there's a large group of women that are called psulais. Some of them do and some of them don't have knas. But here I'm going to give you a list of women that are psulais who still have knas. So according to the way the simple reading of the Gemara reads that Elu nairis, when you open up our perek and you read Elu nairis, the way you have to read it is this. These are not just the only girls that have knas. This is the select girls that are psulais who still have knas. Even though they're psulois, they still have knas because there's a list of psulois who don't have knas. Which means the agenda of our Mishnah was not to discuss the regular Jewish girl. That's not the discussion for this part of the perek. The whole perek is discussing the complicated cases. The girls that are psulois. And in the camp of psulois, some have knas, some don't have. And these are the ones that do have knas. So explains simple reading of the Gemara. Now, if you look in the Ritva number 3, the Ritva explains just what was the Gemara's diak. How did the Gemara know that ksheiros loy? So the Ritva writes number 3, Pirish, the Cholheicha diktoni elu mashme elu dafka. Why did you think that a good, nice Jewish girl doesn't get knas? Because you open up the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, elu nairi sheyesh lahem knas. So you read the list, nowhere on that list is there a nice Jewish girl. So you say to yourself, if the Mishnah used the word elu, these sound like elu v'loy alma, nothing else. So you say to yourself, you read the whole Mishnah in Elu Nairis, you say to yourself, what about the regular girl, the nice, wonderful Jewish girl? She doesn't get knas. So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is that's not the discussion of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not discussing nice Jewish girls. Our Mishnah is discussing the camp of psulos and which psulos get and which psulos don't get. But the Ritva number 4 is bothered with Akasha, which all the Rishonim are bothered with, the Rajba, the Ramban. Not every girl in the Mishnah is a psula. Psula is a very strong term. It means that someone's puzzled. There's something wrong with them. Not every girl in the Mishnah was a psula. Svet, the Ritva number 4, Pirush loyshi yakulam psulas. It's not that every girl in the Mishnah is deemed a psula. If you remember, in the case of Mishnah, we had a Giyaris, or we had a girl that was captive, or we had all under the age of 3. Right? Those girls are not bad people. They're wonderful girls. They can even marry a Kayin, according to one sheet in Yavamis. So why are they called a psulites? I understand. The Nesina is a psula, and the Mamzeris is a psula, and some of the other cases. But what was wrong with the Giyaris? The Giyaris is not a psula. The problem with the Giyaris was that we're afraid that she might have lost her psulim because she was taken captured. But there's nothing essentially wrong with her. So how can you call her a psula? A pisula? How can you call her invalid? So says the Ritva, Ela yesh men psulais mamish v'yesh men pinkumais. Says the Ritva, you have to reread the Gemara. When it says in the Gemara that the chiddush of our Mishnah is these women are psulais, it doesn't mean only psulais. It means these are like the off-the-beaten-path women. I mean, the Mishnah is discussing the non-typical girl. The chiddush of our Mishnah is not which regular girls get knas. The chiddush of our Mishnah is which girls that are atypical, either because they're psulois or because they're pegumois, they have something wrong with them, they also get knas. It's interesting, Rashi on the Mishnah seemed to have learned the Gemara a little differently than we're learning now. We're learning now that what's the Gemara's teretz? That elu nairis means not which girls generally speaking get knas, because we left out a whole group of regular, nice, kosher girls. Because the agenda of the Mishnah was which group of girls in the psulais family have knas? Because not all do, some don't. But that's not the way Rashi seemed to have learned the Gemara. If you look in Rashi, number 5, this is Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi on the Mishnah says, "Bigemara parach limar is going to ask avoksheres loy umishani psulais itzur chalash minan." So it sounds like from Rashi that the Gemara's teretz was that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that not, of course ksheres get knas, but even psulais get knas. That's not exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that psulais get knas. The Gemara says that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that we're discussing the camp of psulais. We're not discussing ksheres, and in the camp of psulais, some have and some don't have. So it's a shtickle, interesting. Rashi learned it subtly, slightly different than the way we're learning, or the way the Ritva learns it. The way the Ritva learned the Gemara, the Mishnah wasn't even talking about which girls get knas. That wasn't even the agenda. The Mishnah was discussing the family of psulais, which psulais get and which psulais don't. Rashi learned that the Gemara is saying, no, avada, we're not talking about ksheiris in our Mishnah. That's not the chiddush. The whole chiddush of our Mishnah is that psulais have knas. Which psulais? Some do and some don't. But again, Rashi seemed to have learned a little different than the Ritva. Now, the Shita Mekubetzis has an observation over here which is worth mentioning. He says, how can you even think for a second that a kosher girl doesn't have knas? It says in the Torah that when you ma'anis a girl, you have to marry her. Now, psulois you can't always marry, but a kosher girl you can marry. So the Ritva points out over here, he says, "Ve'ein loymer dehachi parach ksheiris loy pirish haksheiris linasei." You couldn't have learned the Mishnah when it says the Mishnah kosher girls means girls that anyone can marry don't have knas. The kolkach loy yetoya tama. No one could have made such a mistake. The hakroksi veloy sielisha haruya loy. That can't be. Meaning, there's no way to think for a second. There was no havamina that knasas only apply to psulim and not to ksheiris. That can't be. Because it says in the Torah that one of the penalties of being ma'anis a girl is you have to marry her. So obviously if the Torah writes you have to marry her, the Torah is discussing people you can marry. So there was really no havamina in the first place that ksheiris were out of the equation. The Gemara's question was just really like, why was there no mention of ksheiris in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara answers, that wasn't the agenda of the Mishnah. Either according to Rashi, the agenda of the Mishnah was a bigger chiddush that even psulas have knas. Or according to the Ritva, we were b'chlal not discussing Sheiris. That wasn't the topic. The topic of Elo Nairis is not which kosher women have knasses. The topic of our parik is which women that are psulois and nonetheless still have knasses. Okay. So let's get into the Ikar Sugyove, number 7. Zok the Gemara.
Did that group of women that had their own individual psul, were they already considered, quote, damaged goods in terms of the knas?
Some yes, some no. Meaning the group of, let's say, for example, the Shvuya and the Giyaris, those are considered pigumas. They're already considered damaged because they already lost their Besulim. But the other people in the Mishnah were still Besulis, but they had other problems with them.
was a stigma, they already had a stigma.
Right.
So maybe they wouldn't get a kanas. So that's why they had to have a separate category to talk about whether they do or they don't.
I mean, that's the chiddush of the pagumas you're suggesting, right? Meaning each category in the Mishnah is broken down really with its own chiddush. Some chiddushim have to do with being puzzle, and some chiddushim have to do with being pagum. Right, 100%. Yeah, that's part of what the Ritva I think is trying to bring out. 100%.
Rabbi,
yes.
Isn't it like sort of ikar chasim in a sefer? So why didn't the Mishnah say elu naris psulish sheyich lahem kanas?
Mm-hmm. I hear the kasha. And you should have the Gemara, the Mishnah should have said, yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Well, that's really, say, but that's really the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is you have to interject those words. Elohachi kamer elu nais psula sheshem knas. Meaning it's a chsuri mechsura.
Like I said, what's the habamina? I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense even.
Yeah, it's a shtickle funny that the Mishnah left out some essential words. I guess that's what the Gemara means when it says, you know, chsuri mechsura of achi katani. This is sometimes the Tana wrote things a little bit on the vague side and the Gemara fills it in for us. Yeah, I hear. It's a good observation. So let's go to number 7, Rabbi Yisrael. We continue on the Amud over here. We're learning more Gemara today than we learned in 2 months. Zakta Gemara. Naira in Ketana Loi. The first Diuk that the Gemara... Oh, I see Seth just joined us. We just said over here, Shtigal Torah, Seth, from 2 weeks ago about the Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, so I don't even have to explain it again, right? Seth, you there? Okay.
He's on mute.
Okay. In any case, we just mentioned before your mahalach about the machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi about mechilas knas. Michael will fill you in, I'm sure. I'm not worried. He'll tell you over what we said. But in any case, we're going right into Gemara now. Number 7.
Another job. Thank you, Rabbi.
Another non-paying job, Michael. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Gemara goes right there, guys. Let's see the Gemara number 7. It says in the Mishnah, Elu Nairis. Now, just remind ourselves, there are 3 ages for girls. That's Ketana, Naira, and Baigeris. Ketana is till the age of 12. And then 12 and growing of 2 hearers till she becomes 12 and a half is called Naira. 12 and a half is considered a Baigeris. Those are the 3 major ages that we need to know about Jewish girls in Halach. So the Gemara says like this, Naira in Ketana Loi. The first dig you have to make is when you learn this Perek, is it says the word Elu Nairis. Why only a Naira? Why only the age of 12 to 12 and a half? So the Gemara makes the dig, Naira in Ketana Loi. That a Ketana does not have Knas. Only if you're a Naira, you're ready 12 with 2 simonim. But if you're a Ketana, you're under the age of 12, no, there's no Knas. Man Tana says, the Gemara, who's the Tana? Omer Behuda, Omer Rav, Rev Meir he. We'll go according to Rev Meir. The Tanya, we learned that a Braisa Ketana, Mibas Yoy Mechod, a Ketana from day 1, because she's 1 day old, until she grows 2 hairs, Yeshlo Mecher. Her father has the ability to sell her as a Shivcha. But the Ein Lo Knas. But she does not get knas if anything happens to her. But once she gets those 2 hairs, until 6 months later, until she becomes a begeres, yes, la knas. Then she does have knas.
She doesn't get it, her father doesn't get either.
No one gets. No knas. The ain la knas. Yeah, it's a good point. The Rishayim speak out that we have to know who we're talking about. Because, it's a good point. We'll come back to that in a second. The ain la mecha. Because again, Ain lo mecha means you can't sell her. Ain lo knas means there's no knas to anyone. That's what Jake was pointing out. It's a good observation. It means the whole din is thrown out. There's no. It's not relevant at all. So according to Rav Meir,
it's a bigger chiddush that a Ketana doesn't get than a Begeris doesn't get?
Yeah, we'll see why. So the Gemara is, we'll talk about, so you're asking a good kasha. Maybe the Naira and the Mishnah wasn't to be made Ketana, but the Naira and the Mishnah was to be made Begeris.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tosfos asked that kasha. I wasn't going to go into it, but Tosfos has that kasha on the page. We show him all has this kasha. How did the Gemara make, what was the whole dig in the first place? It says Naira. Naira is 12 to 12 and a half. So it can either exclude under 12, or it can exclude above 12 and a half. How do you know which way to go? That's Tosfos' kasha. It's a good kasha. Okay, maybe for next week. I was hoping not to get bogged down with it, but it's a good aura. How did the Gemara know to be a Mayid by Gerrit, to Ketana, not by Gerrit? We show him this kasha.
That you exclude both.
We're going to have to see if that's true. The Pashas is not like that. We'll have to see if that's true. Because we'll see. We'll see. It's a good observation. We'll hopefully come back to it. Blineder. So let's just finish up the Braisa over. So what do we have? We have a Braisa that says, a Ketana from day... Again, this is I'm emphasizing this for a reason. Ketana mibas yoimecha. She's got to be at least 1 day old. Which means you can't sell her when she's still in utero. You cannot sell an unborn girl until she's actually born. She has to be at least 1 day old. We'll see why Bli Neder this week or next week, why that seems relevant. But Zog the Gemara, if she's 1 day old until she gets 2 years... Very good. That's where we're going to get to Bli Neder. Well, that's a machlokes with Shoinim, but we'll get to that Bli Neder later today. That's on the second page of the Ma'amar Kerem Seth. Yeah. And Mr. Shem will discuss the Rambam Shita about being Mekadish and Uber. One of the things I like to do in this year is go on tangents, which I think are interesting, and we'll discuss that Shaila Beit being Mekadish, a pregnant, a fetus in while it's still in the mother's womb. But we'll get to that, and that's going to be relevant to this line in the Gemara, but I don't want to give away the whole surprise just yet. Okay, so Zakti Gemara, Ein Loknas V'Mishtavish Deisayrus V'Adshe Tibager, Yesh Loknas V'Ein Lemecha. Now it sounds like from the Gemara that the two things go together. Having Knas and being able to be sold go synonymously together, which is strange, because what does one have to do with the other? Divrei Remeir. Again, Remeir holds that a Naira, a girl under the age of Nairus, is you're able to sell her, but she has no Knas. Is there a theme between those two things? Because I can sell her, that's why she has no Knas. And when she gets older, I can't sell her, that's why she has Knas. What does one have to do with the other? What is the connection between Knas and the availability of selling her? There seem to be absolutely no connection between those two dinim. So we'll have to see if there is a connection. Chachamim say no. Ketan mibas shalishanim v'yemechad. If a girl is from 3 years on, and 1 day, v'yacheti bager until she becomes a bageres, yesh lo knas. She does have knas. So Gemara says, 1 second, knas in mecheloi. She gets knas, but you can't sell her. No, ema af knas b'mokoy mecher. It means you can even sell her as well as get her knas. So we have a machloikis in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, when does Knas start? Rav Meir and the Tanakhama. According to Rav Meir, it does not start until she hits 12. Any girl under the age of 12 has no Knas. Not to the father, not to her, nobody. But once she hits 12, then you have Knas. While according to the Tanakhama, Knas starts at 3. Now, why does Knas start at 3 years old and not at 1 day old? Because the Besulim can come back under 3. You have to wait till she's 3 years old, and then if you're living with her, you take a damage because now her psulim are in a chazeres. Under the age of 3, her psulim would return, and therefore there is no penalty. So we have machloikis over here between the May and the Tanakh.
That we learned out from Rivka, correct?
I don't remember. It's Yerushalmi. I don't know.
Yeah, by Yitzhak. Yeah, Rashi brings that down, that it's by Yitzhak and Rivka. That's why I had to wait till she was 3 years old.
That should be Roy Labia. No, well, Roy Labia might be something else, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit more today. Let's just see Rashi number Aizak Rashi with Meirhi. Could the Maisi Bryce come in that the Bryce is going to prove to us? Yesh la mecher. What does it mean, Yesh la mecher? Yesh la avio bozchia. The father has the right lamachra lishifchos. Again, as Jake pointed out, Yesh la mecher doesn't mean she can sell herself. It means the father has the right to sell her. And what does it mean, v'ein lo knas? Shabo la ein achayv knas, period. Means no one gets the knas. It's a little misleading over here who we're talking about. When we talk about selling her and we say she could be sold, it doesn't mean she can sell herself. It means dad can sell her. And when we talk about she has no knas, it means no one gets the knas. The Ainla Mecher, and she can't be sold, Kedatani, we learned, Yochel Yim Karad Mizbita Kishi Naira. You would think you could sell your daughter when she's a Naira. Amat Kavachimer. It's a Kavachimer. Mechura Kvar Yatza. The halach is that once a girl hits 12, she goes free. If you sell your daughter when she's under 12, then she hits 12, so she goes free. So the Gemara says, if she goes free at 12, Koshkin, you can't first sell her at 12. So the Rashi quotes over here, Achshav she'ena mechura, ena din shle timker. If she goes free at 12, definitely you can't initially sell her at 12. So I told my daughter over Shabbos, she should be very lucky, she got bas mitzvah, I can't sell her anymore. Once she hits 12, that's it. She could stay in my house. I can't sell her anymore. But under the age of 12, a father has a right to sell his daughter as an omivriya. Rashi says, "Mibas kimul shan v'yemechad shehi ruya lebia." Why does she have to be 3 years old? Rashi, she has to be ruya lebia. Mecher loy b'tmiya t'kasha. You can only get the knas. You can't sell her. Af knas maka mecher im mishum knas naka b'asholosh avle mecher mibas v'yemechad v'ashi tovish teisayvis. So the Gemara said, "Ein chanami." According to the Chachamim, you can sell your daughter from the day she's 1 day old, but you won't get knas until she's 3 years old. So what do we have in our so far? We have a machloikus of May and the Tanakam. The Mishnah says that a Naira gets Knas and a Ketana does not get Knas. That's going according to Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds Knosses does not start for a Ketana. It only starts for a girl who's already 12 years old. Now, what's the obvious Kasha? Why, according to Rav Meir, shouldn't a girl or the father get Knas when she's 8 years old? Guy goes over to an 8-year-old girl and he rapes her, which is terrible and horrific. Why shouldn't the father get paid for that? It's only when she's 12. Well, what's so special about being 12? What's the magical number 12? The chayre that should be whatever age she's royal abia, so 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The guy goes over, he's mafata her, he's ma'anasir, he does something terrible, he should have to pay. Why, according to Rav Meir, is there no knas? And secondly, the way Rav Meir sets it up, it sounds like it's some connection to the fact that you could sell her. It sounds like because you can sell her, that's why there's no knas. What is the connection between the two things? So it's a very, very difficult shita mikubetzis. And when I first saw the shita mikubetzis, I thought I was crazy. And then I found a later in Achran who justifies my craziness. He writes this in number 9. This is shita mikubetzis. Zokta shita mikubetzis. Rav Meir. Shahayo Rav Meir oimer pirish milsa b'tayim mikoma. Rav Meir was giving you an explanation. Rav Meir lumped two halachs together. Rav Meir said that a ketana has no knas, and a ketana you're allowed to sell. So we were bothered, what's the connection between those two statements? So Pasha Pshat, there is no connection. Rav Meir was telling you two halachas about a ketana. One halacha is she has no knas, and another halacha that you can sell her. Zok tishita, no. The two are intertwined. Pirish milsa b'tayim mekoma. He was giving you an explanation. The kivan di yesh lo mecher, since you're allowed to sell her. V'rashoy ha'av lemachu l'shivchus, lohochi ein lo knas. Zok tishita mekubes says, no, there's a lomdish asvar over here. It's because you're allowed to sell her, that's good for why she has no knas. Why? Because she's a shivcha. V'shivcha ein lo knas. And a shivcha does not have knas. It's unbelievable. Shidim Kubetzis.
Shidim Kubetzis. What does he mean by Shivcha?
Oh.
Shivcha, you think, is a non-Jewish
Shivcha. Oh, that's kasha number one. But let's just review what the Shita just told us. The Shita told us that the reason why a girl under 12 does not get knas is since the father can sell her, he has the right to sell her. He never sold her. He has the right to sell her. Because he has the right to sell his daughter now becomes a shivcha, and we learned already shivcha doesn't have knas. Now there's so many questions on this shita mikubetzis. Question number one is, first of all, he didn't sell her yet. Because he could sell her. I could do a lot of things. Why does the could make her that status? Secondly, being a shivcha is not a reason not to get knas. Why does shvachis not get knas? Because we'll see, because we assume they don't guard themselves from losing their psulim. But there's a nice, wonderful Jewish girl. Why are you chayshish that she lost her psulim? The whole shita mikubetzis is mamish apel. So I found a sefer called Shari Yitzchak, written by Yitzchak Flasker. He was a Talmud of Rav Meir Shapiro in Lublin. Everyone talks about the famous Talmidim of Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Shmuel Vosner was a Talmud by Rav Meir Shapiro. Reb Hirschsprung, very not talked about person. It's a shame. The world should know more about Reb Hirschsprung. If anyone comes from Montreal, they know Reb Hirschsprung. Speak to any. Oh, here we go, Jeff. Right? Speak to any Montrealian. I don't know how you pronounce that. Speak to anyone who lived in Montreal. They all know about Reb Hirschsprung. Reb Hirschsprung was a gadol atzum ma'id. It was a massive, massive, massive talmud chacham. Besides an unbelievable yid, he was a big bal chesed. He built up a lot of the moistest hatayr in Montreal. But he has a son that actually lives here in Curran Hills. I got to catch up with him sometimes. But in any case, Reb Hirschsprung learned in Chachmei Lublin. He was one of the Talmidim by Reb Meir Shapiro. He always held himself to be very close to Reb Meir Shapiro. Shmuel Vosner was a Talmud by Reb Meir Shapiro. To be a Talmud, to get into Chachmei Lublin, I think they say you had to either know 300 blot by heart. By heart. To get it, just to get into Lublin. Forget to succeed in Lublin. I think you had to know something between 300 and 350 blot. Just to get into the yeshiva in Lublin. So we're not talking about...
And Chumash and Rashi.
Oh, yeah, Chumash and Rashi?
Yeah.
That knocked out, that knocked out half the yeshiva guys today. They don't know that. Okay, so they're not getting in. I think we're talking about these...
You forgot his most kosher of a thing. His grandson lives on Stewie Wagner's block.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, really?
He's on the block of us, yeah.
Oh, really? Very nice. That's taka chash of a thing. Very special. Hirschsprung was, it's a shame more people don't know about him. Right? Who gave Askama to, who did Rav Shechter get Askama from in the Sefer Ikvi Atzayin from? Hirschsprung. He gave him Askama. Because who else do you go to? That's what I was going to say, Stu. Hirschsprung was a gadol atzam, was one of the great Tommy. It's a shame more people don't know enough about him. They just did a big event. Jeff, I don't know if you saw it. They just did a big event. For Hirschsprung, I think last week there was a big virtual event to commemorate his yard site. I think the community, the Montreal community, and others did it. I saw it publicized on the Jewish media. But in any case, these were the great Talmidim of Chachmei Lublin. Not a small thing to be a Talmud of Chachmei. So this Yid, this Rabbi Flaxer, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. So he was a Talmud in Lublin, and then he ended up becoming a Ram in Ger, which is also no small feat. to teach in the Ger yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, you got to be a big Talmud Chacham. Ger is known for their Yedias HaTorah and their deep learning. Ger is a very, very serious place of learning Torah. So he's more over these kashas.
Yeah, and that's why they're splitting now, right, Rabbi?
Okay. Well, we'll have to have a different discussion about the Ger Chassidus and its history. But but that's not a new thing. The Sfasemis had a son-in-law that didn't get along with his brother-in-law, and they also had different opinions how to run Ger back in the Alta Haim before the war. So that's definitely not new for Ger Chassidus, nor it is for any Chassidus. But in any case, so he's more over these kashas. So number 10, he writes this. Upliya! I feel much more justified when I hear someone who learned by Rav Meir Shapiro with a Talmud and Chacham Lublin survived the Holocaust and was a Ram in Ger Yeshiva for many years. I'm not sure if he's still alive, this fellow. I don't know. I didn't check. But he asks our kashas. He says, Upliya! Again, for those of you that have the Maamar Kaim, it's number 10. He says, Upliya das mi meni lov and dvar vakdosh. He says, it's just a pella, this Shita Mekubetzis. The Maida Shivcha ain't Lekanasi, Rak Meshivcha Kananis. Like Seth pointed out. What type of Shivcha doesn't have? A Shivcha Kananis, a non-Jewish maidservant, not a Jewish girl. If you're gonna sell your daughter, you're not selling her as a Shivcha Kananis, you're Jewish. Your daughter's Jewish. You're selling her as what's called an Omivriya. Whole different set of rules. He says over here, if anyone remembers, we had a Yushalmi a few weeks ago. With Yushalmi had a different pshat. The Yushalmi said, you know why Shivcha doesn't have knas? Not because she doesn't protect herself, but because why? Because she's not allowed to get married. Or it's a loy plug. You can't marry her. But none of those apply to a Jewish girl. We're in Amivriya. She's a wonderful Jewish girl. You're going to sell her to another Jewish family who's going to have her do homework with the kids and cook supper. She's not going to just be free to do whatever she wants. Men are just going to take advantage of her. She's an Amivriya. She's a Jewish girl. So how can the Shita Mekubetzis say that the reason why, according to Rav Meir, a girl under the age of 12 has no knas, since you can sell her, also she's like a Shivcha. She's not like a Shivcha. She's an Amivriya. And secondly, on the next, he writes, "V'gam ikar tam le'avanti d'chi b'bnei sheyesh b'yad aviyah l'mocha yesh l'din shivcha." Again, just because you could sell her, it doesn't mean she is considered sold. The Harei Rav Meir, Ma'iri afilu b'ktanash l'mocha aviyah. We're talking about you didn't sell her yet. I could sell her, so what? So according to Rav Meir, you have an 8-year-old girl who the father has no intention of selling. Guy goes over to her and rapes her. Oh, no knas because the father could have sold her. What does that mean? It's a pella. She's like any other Jewish girl. It's a pella. How can you say that according to Rav Meir, this girl doesn't have knas because she's a shivcha? What do you mean she's a shivcha? She's not a shivcha. The words of this Shita Mekubetzis. Now the truth is, there's another kasha.
If you understand the knas is compensation for loss of value, so that's only with regards to the Kedushin, but maybe with regards to selling her as an Amavriya, she still retains her value, and that's why there's no Kenas.
But again, the assumption is whatever devalue happens when she gets Oynes Umafate, that's Be'etzem, that's really irrelevant to what you do with her, whether you marry her or sell her. So the fact that she can be sold as a Shivcha doesn't really seem to take away from her
intrinsic. There's no loss of value. There's no loss of value in that case.
Why not?
Because she could still be, because so far, maybe in terms of Kedushin, her value has gone
right
down.
Right.
In terms of Amavriya, it has not.
Right, but again, I don't assume that we're measuring her value by her ability to be sold. I would assume her value is as a nice, good Jewish girl to be able to get married to any nice, good Jewish boy, and therefore that has been devalued because she was Nenas or Mefata. I would assume. Again, we don't assume, unless there's a fundamental machlokes over here between what the purpose of Oynes and Mefat is, if it's because of the devaluation of a servant or devaluation as a human, which I would assume is because now she's no longer valuable in the eyes of potential boys, and therefore that's still true here as well. Now, what bothers me more about the Shita Mekubetzis is that it's against the Gemara. It's a Mefarshe Gemara. There's a Gemara later on in Daf Mem on the base, number 11. The Gemara asks, what's Pshat and Rav Meir? Number 11, Frank the Gemara, Om Reb Chizda, my time of the Rev Meir. What's Pshan Rev Meir that holds a katana has no knas? Oma Akra, Veloy Si Elisha. The Gemara says, you gotta go 5 blocks later. Again, for Yeshiva Bacher to make such a mistake, it's not a kasha. Yeshiva Bacher starts Elon Iris, he gets the Daf Chav Tes, he never gets the Daf Mem. He doesn't know this Gemara later on. But the Shita Mekubetzis, the Chari should have known this Gemara. The Gemara says later on, it says in the Torah, Veloy Si Elisha, that she should become to you a wife. So the Gemara makes the drasha, b'mahava atzma kosim b'daper. The pasuk is talking about those people who can marry off themselves. And since the Ketana can't marry off herself, she's controlled by her father's rights and wishes to get married. That's why she has no knas. So it's a Mefarshe Gemara. The Gemara says, you know why an 8-year-old girl has no knas? It's not because she's a shivcha or has a din of a shivcha. It's because the din of knosis is totally in marriage. And since the girl has no ability to marry herself off, that's why she has no rights to knas. Now again, this might bring us back into the old question of whose knas is it really? Is it her knas? Is it his knas? All that. But this is what the Gemara points out. So Rabbi Chanan,
conceptually, if she's a Nara or a
Ketana.
It's worse that he's taking advantage of a Ketana.
Exactly.
She should get a knas.
100%. According to the Tanakhama, according to the mayor, it's only from 12 to 12 and a half. Now, she's technically an adult at 12. Yeah, halachically speaking. And still, that's the only time there's a knas. While when she's 7 and she's a little girl, 4-year-old girl, she's 3, she just had a 3-year-old birthday party. She's a baby. And the guy comes over and it's mefater, no knas. Very strange. So you have to say it's exeris hakasav. So says Rabbi Chanan in number 12, Rabbi Chanan doesn't even quote the Shidim Kubetzes. Rabbi Chanan assumes for a davar pashut, like the Gemara later on, he writes at number 12, Vahatam, what's the pshat? Mishum debi'ina mahaves atzma. She has to be able to marry herself off. If that's the pshat, to who adin b'shoit a naira like a knas, a libidur meir. So he says, let's say you have a girl who's a naira, but she's a shoita, and she can't marry herself off. She lacks the ability to do that. She doesn't have the das. So she also shouldn't get knas. Because again, according to this pshat in the Gemara, it's not totally, according to the Shidim Kubat says, it's reflective of her status of the shivcha. So once she hits 12, dad can't sell her, so now she gets knas. But Zokter Balchon, and if you go like the Gemara later on, that the reason for the knas is because, not because the father's ability or power, but because there's a din that you only get knas if you have the ability to marry yourself off. Therefore, Zokter Balchon, it should come out that a shoyte shouldn't have a knas. The problem is, B'chudush Eramban, the Kamam Masis, and the Baal Pitoy, there's a Raman later on that says that a shoyte does have knas. So Frekter Balchon and Akasha, what's the difference between a shoyte and a ketana? If the mekar for knas is totally in the mahave atzmai, in the ability to marry yourself off, why is a ketana out of the parasha because she can't marry herself off, but a shaita would be able to marry herself off? The shaita can't marry herself off, she has no das. So it should come out that according to this pshat in the Gemara, a shaita should not be able to get knas either, even though she's above the age of 12. Okay, maybe at a different time we'll have to come back to discuss the sugya of shaita, but that's what Bukhanan's ha'ara. Rabbi Chanan makes another very interesting ha'ar over here. Rabbi Chanan wants to know, according to Rev Meir says that knosses don't start until 12, but what age can you sell your daughter? Mibas yoim echad. From the day she's 1 day old. So Zokt Rabbi Chanan, umivur b'loshin zeh, de ubur leisa b'mechira. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the dig from the Gemara? The first time you can marry off your daughter is when she first is in the world. She's 1 day old. Right? So she comes out of the womb. Mazel tov, it's a girl. Boom, you sell her off to work as a shivcha. Your wife might not appreciate it, but that's the halach. But Frekto Bochanan, why does it have to first start then? Why can't you sell her when she's in utero? So says Rabbi Chanan, Ula ha-sayivrim de'ev shalimkar uba b'mei be'ema. Frekto Bochanan, I don't get it. If you're allowed to sell an animal when it's still in utero, why can't you sell a human? Right, we'll talk more about this. There's a shayla in the Gemara. Let's say a guy has an animal that's pregnant. And he tells the person, I'm selling you the animal, the utero, I'm selling you the pregnant baby, not the actual, not the mother, but the pregnant one, the fetus. So the shayla is, do you have the right to do that? So what's this tullian? It's pashtas tullian, the sugya of Davar ba'olam. Right. We know there's a sugya machloikis tanoim. Ain't on the machne davar shalom ba'olam. A person has no right to sell something which does not exist yet in the world. You can only sell that is in the world. You can't sell things that are not here yet. Now again, we've touched upon this sugya many times. We discussed different topics of it. We discussed in Kiddushin, and we discussed it in Gittin, a lot of different topics. We'll discuss a little bit more today. But that's the machloikis, whether or not you have what's called gemiras das. Most of us can only sell that we can see. If you're going to tell me that I'm going to buy from you something which is not yet in the world, you're going to sell me a pregnant animal, and you're going to sell me the fetus, and the fetus is not here. It's still in.
Why is that fetus still here? It is here. Take an X-ray. You see.
Okay. Good. So we're going to have to discuss: is there a certain level that is there a certain time machlokes mishnayim that sometimes that is the hoker ubra? Let's say you see the baby. You see the baby. The baby is in the stomach. You can see it, as opposed to let's say when the baby or the mother's early on pregnancy. So you told me, you'll show me a blood work. Show me blood test. Blood test says she's pregnant, but I don't see anything. As opposed to when she's 9 months and you can see the ubra. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So Rav Chanan's bothered with a kasha. Rav Chanan makes a diak, which we'll see is debatable, that you can't sell your daughter until she turns 1 day old. Frak Rav Chanan, why can't I sell her in utero? Why is it any different than an animal that I could sell in utero? Says Rav Chanan, Yishleim adahochi shana debidin ruyi liyod. Says Rav Chanan, because there's something different about a shivcha. An omavriya, not a shivcha, an omavriya. When you sell your daughter as an omavriya, there has to have the ability for the owner to marry her. That's called yiyod. We touched upon this a little bit when we learned Kiddushin. The Gemara talks about where's the Ma'is Kiddushin for Yid. Is it the original money that he gave to buy the Amma or not? Ma'is are we showing it's a Kiddushin in the Lav the Kiddushin in the. But Yid is one of the fundamentals of a Amivriya, that when you buy an Amivriya, you have the rights to marry her later on. So Dr. Bochanan, that's why you can't sell it to her when she's in utero. Because you can't marry someone in utero. So therefore, again, I'm not sure where the liberals stand on this one. Maybe they hold you couldn't marry someone in utero. They hold you can marry anything today, so maybe you can even marry something in utero. You have to check with your local liberal what you could and can't marry. But the Torah doesn't assume you can marry something in utero. So for Ektob Ochanan, so now I understand it. Every Amivriya mitzad, the actual Amivriya, the Mechiras, Bailus of Avdus, you could sell. Just like you could sell a cow in utero. But because an Amivriya has an additional din, that she needs to be ra'uli yiyud, she needs to be able to get married, and you can't marry in utero. But for Ektob Ochanan, why not? Avol ha'soivim dikdushin toivsim bo'ober miyad. But there is an opinion that you could marry a baby in utero, not just the liberals. There is an opinion that you could marry a baby in utero. There is Tvisa's Kedushin in utero. So for Ektob Ochanan, then kasha, haba kasha. So why can't you sell your daughter, again, sell the baby in utero, even though you need to have Kedushin, but you can have Kedushin. She's royally Kedushin because you're allowed to make Kedushin with a baby even in the mother's stomach, and Rabbi Chanan leaves off with a kash. So this gave me a great chance to delve into this sugya a little bit. What's going on over here? What's the issue of being
Kedushin
able...
Kedushin works less than 3 years old?
Yeah. We'll see. So let's see. There's a Gemara in Kedushin of Samach Beis Amid Beis. Gemara says like this. How the Tanya we learned in the Braise, it's really a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in the third pack of Kedushin. A guy goes over to his friend, he says like this. Im yolda ishtucha nekeva mekudeshesli. Guy goes over to his friend and says, you know, if your wife has a baby girl, I want to marry her. So the Gemara says, lo yama klum, nothing doing. That's a davar shelo b'loilam. If you are, your wife not even be pregnant. So there's no Kedushin in such a case.
She has to accept. Doesn't she have to receive something?
Yeah, he gives him money and says to the father, listen, if your wife has a baby girl, I want her to be my wife. Okay, so the Gemara says no good. But that's if the wife is not pregnant. Right, you go over to a guy in shul, you say, listen, when your wife has a baby, I want that baby, here's the money, and when your wife has a baby, I want to be married to the baby. So you probably look at the guy like he's nuts, coupled with the fact that your wife is not pregnant, at least as far as you know. So then the whole thing is a joke. But Zogti Gemara, but if she's pregnant, Aval ishtamu beres dvar of kayamin. But if she's pregnant, then it works. Keman kishahukar ubra. When you can see that she's pregnant. She's showing. Whatever month she's showing, today girls show at different places. You know, it gets very touchy with these type of topics when the girls start to show and they have to buy maternity clothing and it costs you a lot of money because maternity clothing, they double the price. Okay, fine. But in any case, when it's hukar ubra, then it's chal. So we have a mefurshi Gemara. The Gemara says if you go over to a guy whose wife is clearly pregnant, she's hooker or bro, you give him money, say, I want to marry that fetus, Kedushin's chal. So that's...
Only if it's a girl.
Right. On the side that it's a girl, right? So what do you see? This is Rabbi Chanan's point.
Do you accept it?
What?
The father has the right to say yes or no?
Yeah, he's the Bailam. The father's presumably the owner. Now, we'll have to talk more about this. That the assumption is the...
Isn't it like an open sale? Because you don't know if it's a girl. So how could you...
It's a sell-all tonight. It's a sell-all tonight. I'll deny that it's a girl. Now, we have to talk a little bit about this because we'll see later on it's relevant. We assume, and there's a good reason to assume this way, is that the father's the bailim even in utero. Right? Pashtus, you assume, the schosim of the father and the daughter only start when she comes into the world. This Gemara is assuming not. This Gemara is assuming that the rights are here even in utero. Now that's not so crazy. Why? Because if you remember when we did the halacha shir, we had, I think, a five part series on abortion. It's a worthwhile listen if you want to take a Jewish stand on abortion. Because the Orthodox stand on abortion is neither left nor right. It's a mistake that people make. People quoted incorrectly. Orthodox opinion on abortion is not the right, it's not the left, it's a whole new mahalach. But one of the things we pointed out, based on the Chumash and the Gemara Baba Kama, is if a woman wants to abort, she would need consent from the husband, which the liberals definitely do not want to hear that, because it's the woman's right to choose, the husband has absolutely no say in it. That's halachically incorrect. From a Gemara standpoint, from a Torah standpoint, and I was actually validated when I actually found a Gadol who wrote this, Rabbi Felder, from Gedalia Felder, was a Rav in Toronto for many years. His son was Aaron Felder, was a Rav in Philadelphia for many years, who's already passed. But he writes this in his Sefer, and I was very happy to see this, that if you want to perform an abortion for a Jewish woman, you need to have consent from the father. Those are his babies. He owns them. The Torah writes, if a lady, the Pasuk says in Parashas Mishpatim, if a lady's pregnant, and someone knocks the lady, and she loses the Mevelah, who gets the payment? Dad gets the payment. Because they're his babies. He has rights even in utero. So that's the same thing here also. The father has rights even in utero to marry off that baby. Now there is a machloikis we shine him. Is the kedushin chal now or the kedushin chal after she comes out? When you're mekadosh a baby in utero, when is the kedushin chal? Is the maisa kedushin take place now, but the chalois is later, or the chalois is even now? Mamish right now. Right now, while this baby is in utero, she's a married baby. This baby comes out married. We'll see what the nafkaminas perhaps might be. But this is what the Gemara says.
Issue of Nathel. Also, a question. I mean, there's
again. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And when the baby comes out, so again, in the times of the Gemara, they worked with kaluloi chadoshim. If a baby lived 9 months, the baby was delivered after 9 months, we assume the baby wasn't an afel. For the most part, obviously, for pidyon haben, we wait 30 days to rule that out. But yeah, if things wouldn't go, then you'd have more complicated halachic shailas. If the girl comes out and then she turns out not to be, so maybe he'd have to get his money back, right? It would be a complicated situation. But
side here. If the father is established as a father based on Rov, right? Rov Bilos Achar Baal.
Yes.
And by Dine Mamanus, we don't go by Rov. So how does the father ever collect on any...
You ask Stam Zeyakash by Dmei Velodis. So I would answer what we saw Ashir. I think it's probably the Yisrael we saw from the Chazam Sofer a few weeks ago. That sometimes you go, meaning you only don't go after Rov by Mamanus if it's just Mamanus. But over here we go by other things also. The baby's status is going to be defined by the father.
Prove that you're the father.
No. But again, let's say the father's a kohen. Is this baby going to be a kohen? Yes, because we're going to assume the father.
But by Dine Mamanus, we don't say that.
But no, but we had a Chassam Sofer a few weeks ago, where the Chassam Sofer said a Gevaldig Yisoid. We quoted from his Rebbe.
There's a Surim involved.
And whenever there's a Surim involved, the Chassam Sofer quoted from his Rebbe, the Hafla. The Hafla of this Yisoid, he brought a Rai from this, that if there's other dinim besides for just Mamanus, then even according to Shmuel, we go after the Mamanus.
Yeah.
The Hafla brought Rai to this. He brought a Rai from the Gemara in Bar Metzia. Right, the Gemara in Bar Metzia says that if you have a city that's Roiv Yisrael, you have to return the Aveda. So Frekt Taisus, why? Ain't Alchem Mamanus Achar HaRoiv. So Zok the Hafla, you see from over there, when there's other dinim that get involved in the Roiv, then you can use the Roiv for Mamanus also. So this L'chaira would be a good Rai to that. I gotta think he brings that as a Raya. If I remember correctly, we had this year a bunch of weeks ago, and I quoted the Hafla, he had a bunch of Raias. I think this was one of the Raias to his Yisoid, that the Mominus gets schlepped by the Isser as well. So this is the Gemara. Now, without getting into all the nitty-gritty of the Gemara over there, according to Rashi and Taisvis, is only according to the man the Amr that holds Adam Makta Davish Shalom Balaylam. Even when it's Hukar Ubra, even when the baby can be seen, still, the Kedushin is only Chal if you hold Adam Makta Davish Shalom Balaylam. There's Machoikis Tanoyim. Can a person sell that is not yet in the world? And this Gemara that holds, you can buy, in a marriage setting, a baby that's still in utero is only, and she's hooker abra, the mother's showing, it's only if you hold, you can sell a davar shalah b'layla. Okay, that's what Rashi and Taisus both say in Kedushin. Now,
don't we have a Gemara with the payros? You can buy the payros that are going to, seasonal is going to come.
Okay, good. Good. So that's what the Gemara over there discusses, payros ledekel, certain things that you anticipate are going to come, even though they're not here yet, but they're already on your radar, because they grow, it's seasonal, you know they're going to come, which is like Hukar Ubra. Hukar Ubra, you already see the baby, so you anticipate the baby. But again, at least according to Rashi and Tosfos and Kedushin, that only works if you hold, you could sell something which is Shalom B'Loyla. The problem is, Rabbi Yisai, is the Rambam Shita. We always have to have a Shver Rambam. Zok the Rambam in number 15, Hilchas Ishas. The guy goes over to his friend and says, if your wife gives birth to a baby girl, I want that baby to be married to me. It doesn't work. But if the friend's wife is pregnant, and she's showing, Harezu mekudeshes. Now that's not a chiddush. That's a gemara in kedushin. Frek the raiva number 16. The cause of a raiva the fisha halacha loy nemar hooker uba mekudeshes el odas Reb Loz ben Yaakov. The Adam makta davish shol loylam. The less hilchasal kavasei. Frek the raiva not so fast. This whole din in the gemara that hooker uba helps is only if you hold Adam makta davish shol loylam. But we don't pask in that way, says the Ravid. We pask in Eid of the Makhdad of Shalab al-Oilam. If you hold Eid of the Makhdad of Shalab al-Oilam, then you can't sell the baby even in utero, even if it's Hooker Uber.
But maybe that's what Hooker Uber does. It's going to make it a Dover Shalab.
Very good. That's going to be the Magen Mishnah's pshat. We'll get to that in a second. But the Ravid assumes
How could that work? How could it be a Dover Shalab al-Oilam just because it's in the stomach? That's not what the actual fetus is. That's a reflection on the mother, not on the actual child.
No,
it's not that the child's in the oilum. You see it in the mother. That's a different
answer. So, it's totally in why is Eina the Machta Dava Shalab al-Oilam. If you hold Eina the Machta Dava Shalab al-Oilam, the past is because there's no Gemir Das. You can't sell that you don't see. But I see it. I see this huge thing in her stomach. I can connect to that. It's not selling something that's intangible. It's tangible. I see it. I can't touch the baby, but I see a big thing in her stomach. That's enough Gemira's Das to be able to sell it.
Theoretically, you could remove it if, God forbid, you...
Right. Meaning, if you hold the Chesaron is, again, this is a little bit more than I want to get into, but if you hold the Chesaron is Gemira's Das, which is the Pashtus, you can't sell that you can't see because you can't connect to it. But I could connect to it. I see this thing. It's in front of me. You know, you go to the doctor and they can hear a heartbeat and they see movement and they take pictures. It's boilum. Again, it's not physically boilum. But the problem is not that it needs to be physically boilum. The point is I have to be able to connect to it mentally that I can be selling. So the Ravid's kasha on the Rambam is that we don't paskin that way. But the kasha is even stronger. Because if you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, paskins the Rambam, ein ad makne dava shaloi boloilum. The Rambam himself paskins Eina the Makna Dava Shalab al-Oilam. So if the Rambam paskins Eina the Makna Dava Shalab al-Oilam, how can the Rambam in turn paskin that you're allowed to marry the baby in utero? So it says the Magid Mishnah, a very simple answer, which Seth pointed out. Number 18 says the Magid Mishnah, V'sava Rabbeinu, Shafil Misha Sava Sheina the Makna Dava Shalab al-Oilam. Because even if you hold that you can't sell something which is not yet in the world, Ubra Moide. But Hooker Ubra Moide, everyone agrees that you can see it's different. Why? V'yesh Beforshim Savim Kain, V'him Beforshim Asur Yal Derech Zeh. That's the Ravid. The Ravid said it doesn't matter. Hooker Ubra doesn't change anything. Hooker Ubra still makes it Shlub Oilam. While the Rambam will tell you that Hooker Ubra makes it a notch better. Hooker Ubra makes it now Bala Oilam. So Avad, the Rambam Paskins, Ein Adam Makta Dava Shlub Oilam 100%. But Hooker Ubra makes it a Bala Oilam. So they have a Zuck the Magi Mishnah. The Rambam is not a Kash. Now there is still the Kash of the Lechem Mishnah over here. The Lechem Mishnah is bothered with a kasha. Let's go back to the Rambam Hilchas Mechira. Let's read the Rambam together. Zok the Rambam. Ein adam makne dava shalo b'loilam. You can't sell that is not in the world. Bein b'mecher, bein b'matano, whether you want to sell it, whether you want to gift it, bein b'matano shchimira, whether it's matano v'shchimira. Ketzad. Masha toitzi sa dezu machlach. I tell the guy, you see my field? Whatever it will produce, that's yours. Masha yoitzi ilon zeh, whatever the tree will produce, nasalach, I'm giving to you. Or, Tanu Masha Taylor Behe Mazulupla, and I say, whatever this animal will give birth to is yours? Loi Kona Klum. Zog the Rambam, you're not kain at all. Why? Because the Rambam holds, Ein Adam Makne Dava Shalab al-Oilam. So now what's the obvious kasha? According to the Magi Mishnah.
There's no Maisa Kinyan. So even if it was in any of these cases, except for the Shlimira. Even if it was Baal Olam, how would you be Kona any of them?
No, you'll use whatever Kenyan you can use, whether it be, you'll use maybe Shtar, you'll use whatever.
But then if you're using a Kenyan, then you could be Makad Dava Shalob Olam if you use a Kenyan, no? That's the child Yaakov and Esav.
That's one of the terutzim they give for Yaakov and Esav. Yeah, that's true. That's one of the terutzim. But Abai said, there's a basic kash that I'm waiting for someone to jump on over here. If according to the Magid Mishnah, Hooker Ubra changes the equation, Hooker Ubra makes it now, that's Baal Olam. So shouldn't the Rambam have defined in the Hilchas Mechira? Depends if the animal's pregnant or not. If the animal's pregnant and it's Hooker Ubra, then you could sell the fetus. The Rambam writes carte blanche. You can't sell fetuses. If I tell you whatever the animal is, what do you mean? It should depend. If you, I don't know how you know what a Hooker Ubra of an animal is, but I'm sure those that are in the animal business know this. Why shouldn't the Rambam differentiate? The same way the Rambam holds that I'm allowed to be Mekadish and Isha, who is Hooker Ubra, because that's called Baal Olam according to the Magi Mishnah. Should be the same thing for an animal. If I have an animal that's Hooker Ubra, that should be called Baal Olam. So Frek the Lechem Mishnah, 1 second. Number 819. He says, 1 second. Ulufi apirish kasaf di osi shaper av mikomach and kosher. Di behilchas mechira kasav am zakel ubaloi kono. Dahila levar sham dim hooker uba kono. Frek the Lechem Mishnah, why doesn't the Rambam explain? It depends. I want to sell my pregnant cow. I want to sell the fetus. Well, it should depend. If the animal is showing its hooker or bro, then it does work. Because the Magen Mishnah told us that if it's hooker or bro, it now jumps to be Davish Shabbala Olam. And the Rambam holds, then you could sell it. So why by Kiddushin does the Rambam seem to talk about hooker or bro and not so by an animal? This is a very stark kasha. What?
Because by Kiddushin, if the whole problem is das, by Kiddushin is a higher level of das, so we don't assume you're joking around. That's one of the reasons why there's no Tolkei Dibur by Kiddushin, that once you say something, you assume you mean it. As opposed to Mechira, which is a lower level of das.
Yeah.
Maybe in that case, even if it's Hukra Ubra, we're not going to say that you're serious. But we don't know for sure if you're serious.
Maybe. Okay. And maybe that's going to be the territory. You're going to have to be Mechalik between the das that you need to make a Mechira as Uber versus the das you need for Kiddushin Uber. But this is the cash that the Magen Lechem Mishnah. Yeah.
Rabbi, maybe it's because in Kiddushin, you need to, it has to be a girl first. But by the animal, he's not saying only the male animal or the female.
Again, that just is a Tanayin and Mechir. Every case you'll have Tanayin. Very often in business deals, you'll sell things on condition. The fact that it's on condition, I don't think should take away, meaning if it's the way it turns out, then I fully want this to happen. Again, to me, the fact that it's on condition doesn't take away from the das. Okay.
It's like we said before that when you're mechalik between the surim and the mominus, it's the same thing here, that there's two separate things.
Okay, good.
You know, it's legabe.
Good.
One, it works. Legabe the other, it doesn't.
Okay, so Michael was mechalik to a shtickel Reb Chaim over here, which I don't know if we're going to get to today because I'm a little off with the times today, but I'm seeing it's getting a little late for everyone. But there's Reb Chaim Belined next week that we need to discuss. A big yusai from Reb Chaim. This Reb Chaim is in Hilchos Ishus, this Rambam, where Reb Chaim is going to break down that, like we all know, there's two dinim in marriage. There's the kinyan, and then there's the Ishus. There's the actual acquiring of the woman, which Dr. Rambam perhaps you could do in a situation of an Uber. But there's another element of Ishus, the element of actual having relationship, of a marriage. Dine Ishus perhaps don't happen in Uber. And based on this Reb Chaim, we might be able to go back and explain Rabbi Chanan's kasha about why you don't have, why can't you sell a woman for an Amir Vriya at Ubra? If you can marry her for Ubra Belineda, we'll have to get to that in Mitzvah Shem next week. So if anyone wants to look up, it's Reb Chaim and Hilchos Ishus. It's a very geshmak Reb Chaim, not such a long one, but an interesting Reb Chaim and Hilchos Ishus Belineda. We'll be mamshich that next week, as well as some other inyanim in the sugya Mitzvah Shem Tuesday night. We'll be discussing the status of one oven and microwaves. We discussed last week the dinam of the issues of having one oven. Belineda, this Tuesday night, we'll finish that up and we'll tackle the issues of microwave. I hope by then my computer is fixed or something is fixed, and we'll be able to get back to business as usual. Okay, everybody, say, have a wonderful week. Stay safe and be